Hey guys, welcome back to Mamas Chingonas podcast with Janet and Sandy. Today we have a very special guest with us. She is in Las Vegas. Her name is Azadé, also known as Azzy. We are going to be talking today about IVF. I think this topic is a huge topic. I think we want to bring women together and unite everyone who has thought of having a baby and isn't able to have a baby. Thankfully, today and age, there's so many options for us women and, you know, any couple in general who wants to have a baby, whether they can choose to do a surrogacy or the IVF treatment. I think it's huge, and I'm so grateful that it's available to anyone who wants to be a parent. So we want to break the stigma. We want women to know that it's okay if you can't carry, and if you need to go through the hoops, it's well worth it. So thank you so much, Azzy, again, for being part of our podcast. And you guys need to listen to what she has to say about her journey with IVF.
Thank you so much for being part of the podcast. Today's topic is IVF, and I appreciate your time being on here with us today. And I know it's something that you've been through, so if you can just tell us more about yourself and about IVF and what it is and how it works.
Well, IVF is in vitro fertilization. It's basically removing mature eggs out of your ovaries and fertilizing them with sperm outside of your body. And then they place it, you know, in your body and to achieve pregnancy. That's the simple terms for IVF. But as for me, I waited a long time to have kids. I thought to myself, you know, I wanted to be married and just wait for children and everything. So at 32, I decided with my husband, you know, that we were going to try to get pregnant as soon as we got married, actually. And we had trouble for about a year. So we just went in to the doctor's office. It's actually it's a difficult process, but they make it really easy. You know, you check first. They checked my tubes, which obviously has to be open for eggs and sperm and all that to meet up in the middle. And mine were blocked. So both of them ended up being blocked because I have medical term, endometriosis. A lot of women suffer from it. It's a very painful thing to go through, you know, with periods and things like that. And it causes infertility. Which is where IVF came in for me. My tubes are blocked, and you just go through a process. They do test in your blood specifically to check like hormones. It's called an FSH hormone, which is like a follicle stimulating hormone. If you don't have like enough eggs or quality, a lot of women end up having to do like donor eggs and things like that, which thank God I was fortunate to have a lot of eggs and not have, you know, have to worry about that extra step and really an extra cost, you know?
Yeah.
Cause that it can be really expensive. Before I started it when I was 32, in like September, and I did like acupuncture and things like that. I stopped drinking. I just did everything that I thought my body would respond to better, I guess. Being that it was going to house, you know, a little baby in there.
Right.
But yeah, you know, once you get everything done, like all the testing prior to and make sure that there's no like abnormalities in your cervix and your uterus, because all that plays a big part, like in a, you know, even just like a natural pregnancy for it to actually attach to your uterus, you know. So they basically stimulate your ovaries to try to get as many. When you ovulate, you basically have one or two eggs that mature and they get to a certain size and you ovulate, and you know, that's how one gets pregnant. But in this case, they stimulate them so much to where I had 47 follicles, and that was like not normal. Mostly people have like 15 or, you know, 20, 25, but I had 47 that they took out. Out of the 47, I had 44 eggs were fertilized. If you really think about it, the numbers went down. They fertilized 44 eggs and only 28 ended up being like viable embryos to where, you know, you can put inside my uterus and they grow, you know?
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. It was difficult to go through that process because of all like the medication and everything. But you know, after that, it's just, you wait for the embryo. It's 3 to 5 days. A lot of people do fresh transfers, which that means that right after they pull your eggs out and they take your husband's sperm and put it together, they wait like 3 to 5 days or so, until the embryo grows, and then they transfer it. But in my case, we did what's called a frozen embryo transfer. And what it means is they basically freeze it, depends on your body, for a month or two. And then, you know, go into transfer. Basically, we did pre-genetic testing, which tells you whether the baby has like, or babies have like extra chromosomes and any kind of genetic mutations, you know, like anything that would prevent me from being pregnant. A lot of times women have miscarriages or they won't get pregnant with IVF, or in any sense, naturally also because of the embryo not being healthy. And a lot of times as women, we blame ourselves, you know, and we're like, what did I do? Or, you know, what did my husband do? Or, but it's really not, has nothing to do with us. You know, it's just the way things work sometimes. But yeah, after that, they freeze it. They tell you when you're going through IVF, if you do the genetic testing, that your chances are higher to actually become pregnant. So you, I think it's like a 50% chance, or, you know, much better than the 20 or 30% chance that you normally would have, you know. But wow. as far as my first IVF, because I've done it twice, as far as the first one went, it was pretty by the book. They tell you, okay, if you do the genetic testing, you know you choose what you're going to have, and you know, you go in and you get the transfer and you wait a few days to see how your body responds, to see if you're pregnant, you know. And I knew. They transferred my daughter. We had chose a daughter in the beginning. Was the 29th of November. And then December 1st, I was in my kitchen and I just felt like I don't know. I don't know if like other people are like in tune or can feel things, but I felt like a huge pinch in my uterus. And I just started screaming to my husband, babe, I'm pregnant. It's her. It's her. She implanted.
Oh, and, you know, my gosh.
You know, men, right? He's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Wow. Yeah, so that's so amazing.
And so, was your first pregnancy, it was just one then? There weren't multiple? Because sometimes, you know, you run the risk of having a multiple.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just had one.
Just one. They only implanted one. Okay. With mine, it was really the doctor called it like by the book. Yeah. Even though I was older, my, you know, from my eggs and my, just like all my blood work and everything was really healthy.
He's kind of older, but you know what I've noticed nowadays? Like as time goes by, women are waiting longer and longer to have kids. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
In their 30s, yes. 40s. And I think it comes from the conception of we have to have everything ready. We have to do everything
totally.
Right. You know, from the fact of, you know, changing things from our family where they got pregnant and planned and then, you know,
yes.
Locked. So now I think that because there's more resources and education, people are like, oh, let's wait for the perfect timing, you know? Let's wait. Yes. So that's just what I see in a lot of people. Like, oh, wow, mm-hmm. You know? Because I have a 19-year-old and I'm only 41. So I was, you know, 21 mm-hmm. when I had him. So, yeah. But so I was just curious.
Totally. That.
Yeah, 32 is not old, girl.
Yeah, no, you know, I didn't think so, but you know, some people are like, you know, even men,
oh, yeah,
you like, it's you know, meet men. Yeah. I met my husband at 31. I had just turned 31 and I was like, listen, I'm done. I'm getting married and I'm having kids. And if you don't want any part of that, then listen, you can go, buddy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you're everybody meet and they're like, you don't have any kids. No, not yet. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's almost like something's wrong with you, but there's not.
There's not. And, you know, people just ask that question so crazy. It's kind of insane when you think about, you know, what you don't really realize what people have gone through or haven't gone through to try to have kids.
Exactly.
To ask that question. I got that question asked a lot because one of my friends, you know, they all had kids and I was always in the room and I didn't have children, but I had a son who passed away when I was 15 years old, my firstborn. So it was like, well, I do, but I don't. So people have to be real sensitive when they ask that, you know, but they're not. Nobody thinks about that because for some people, pregnancy is just like, oh, it's the funnest thing. It's so easy. Mm-hmm. You have a child, you pop it up. But for others, it's definitely a struggle.
Exactly.
Journey, you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. That's exactly it. You don't know. Yeah, you don't know.
People tell me they're pregnant. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, it's exciting. But in the back of my head, if it's someone I love, I'm constantly in prayer for them because I understand that for some people, pregnancy is very normal and it's just something natural that our bodies go through. But for some of us, it's not. It's a risk, a very high risk that we put ourselves
right.
in when we go and give birth. So it's you know, it's important. But a lot of people, I guess they just were like, you know, some people have it easy and some women don't, you know.
Right.
But we just have absolutely. To be sensitive that we're all just different in that area.
Yeah. And like not at, like when people get married, you know, right away, everybody's like, well, when are the kids? And it's like, how do you know they haven't been trying for the past 10 years? You know, you don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Or how do you know, you know, they just didn't miscarry. You know, you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm. I literally was even though I had been through, you know, whatever I went through, I still was very sensitive. I even had a friend tell me, don't be ashamed. Like, not that I was ashamed, but I was almost like just really careful. And I would tiptoe around certain people that I knew had issues too, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, don't hide your happiness. I get it. And, you know, it's appreciated, but don't hide your happiness because you have been through it, you know? Which is also true. You know, it took me a while to kind of break away from that, from being feeling bad, you know, for being pregnant.
As women, we were told like, we can't do the very natural thing that we're meant to be born to do, right?
Right.
Culture-wise, that's kind of how, you know, women is the head of the household in the sense that they have the children. They're, you know, they're that's what they do. They have children, you know, it's part of our natural nature. So people expect it, you know, and it plays havoc on our mind. I remember I used to get really sad after my son passed away, you know, like, and everybody had kids and I felt kind of like, dang, is something wrong with me? You know, like, why can't I have a child? Or even almost like, you know, I don't want to say less of a woman, but in some sense, some of the identity of my womanhood wasn't complete because I felt I was going to be unable to bear a child, you know?
Totally. I think it's a lot because people kind of put that on you even more, but you know, you know, I have a stepson, or I just call him my son, but you know, he didn't come from me is the way I look at
it. Bonus child.
Yeah, you know, he's older. He's 11 now. Well, no, excuse me. He just turned 12. And I love him. I love him. But I always said, you know, I love him, but I just want, you know, you want what's, you know, you want your, like, you know, flesh of my flesh, you know. Totally.
It's I had definitely as well.
And how was your pregnancy with your, is it a boy and a girl that you have?
Yeah, it was a girl first, and then my boy. The girl, I mean, besides the first 3 months that you have to do like injections, the first 11, 12 weeks, and they're harsh. Towards the end, you're like, I can't do this anymore. I can't, you know.
So you do the injections while you're pregnant or before you get pregnant?
before and while. So
before and
you
while.
Do injections
okay.
to stimulate. And then mm-hmm. after you stimulate, it's two different types of injections when you stimulate. And then after that, well, in between that, because you start it before they transfer the embryo,
yeah.
you start taking their oil. It's basically a shot of oil.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's basically to keep the pregnancy, but it's so harsh because it's such a, you know, it's a thick oil that gets put into your buttocks basically.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, towards the end, it's really difficult.
Okay,
but other
I'm
than
gonna
that,
get maybe too much information. Really, they put it on your butt cheek, like they inject the needles through your butt.
Well, my husband did it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my husband did it every single
okay.
day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to do it at home. It has to be like at a specific time. It's progesterone.
Oh, okay,
progesterone,
it's the hormone
and
yeah.
oil. Yeah. So I took the pills. I took the injections. They give you patches. They go off of your blood work. So whatever
okay.
you
yeah.
you know whatever
They'll
you need is
out.
What they. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he did them at home. And but the pregnancy, oh gosh, it was like, I mean, other than weight gain, which I gained like 45 pounds, it was a piece of cake. I was like, oh, yep, I'm having another one.
Oh, good.
It was, you know, it was not a question. I was just going to wait till the right time.
Were you induced? Do you get you plan your birth or it's just all happening natural or?
No, with my daughter, I went into labor on Friday night at like after a massage.
Okay,
let me tell you, I had a maternity massage at 12 p.m. and at 6:30 p.m. I started like contracting, like
oh, wow.
big time. Yeah, but I was in labor until Sunday night.
Mm.
No, I'm sorry, Monday morning at like 4 a.m. They finally were like, we have to get her out, like
oh, okay.
her heart. You know, it was
yeah.
like emergency.
Was there too much already? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
so
was
after,
it
was that, 58 hours?
How many weeks were you? Were you ready to have the baby or was it too soon?
I was 36 weeks, 36, six actually. So she came out, she went into the NICU for like 2 hours just to make sure she was breathing okay. And then she came into the room with me. She was good. Thank God. She had a little jaundice from being born a little early, but
yeah. So was it like 2 weeks early maybe?
Yeah, it's
yeah.
It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Like 3 weeks and a day or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's, you know, I mean, just a little jaundice and she was good and healthy.
And she's good.
That's
yes,
good.
Thank God.
And what about your son? Or sorry, go ahead.
Terrorizes the house. No, I was just going to say, now she terrorizes the house.
How old is she?
She'll be 3 the 24th of next month.
Oh
yeah.
My God, my little girl will be 3 on the 28th of next month.
Really?
Yes, and then I have a 5-month-old.
Oh my gosh, how sweet.
Yeah.
That was January?
She was born December 22nd. So she's going to
oh,
be
okay.
6
really
months
thanks.
On the 22nd, like any,
okay.
well, any day now.
Well, this little monster was born November 27th.
And oh, okay.
He was supposed to be a she.
Oh, no way.
Not,
gosh.
Not in a bad way, but, you know, with the IBS, with the genetic testing we did, it
wow.
was for health reasons. It wasn't for, you know, we didn't care what it was in the beginning. We were like, oh, whatever, you know. But they tell you, you can choose. You know what they are. You know, you can choose.
Yeah.
And then they say if what you choose is not, you know, available or whatever, if it doesn't have, do you want to still go forward and transfer like the other sex that you didn't choose? And we were like, absolutely, you know. So this is paperwork you do before.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, I did everything and we were like, okay, we have, we had 7 embryos that we tested that we knew what they were. One of those was my daughter. And then there was 2 more female and 4 male embryos. So we were like, you know what? Let's just have another little girl. Like they'll be little, you know, like they'll have that sister bond. We already have everything for a girl.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't make sense. And everybody kept saying, oh, you should have a boy, you know? So the day comes and we're supposed to go in for our appointment. And they call me and tell me that the lab isn't ready. They said the lab's not ready. I didn't know what that meant. Long story short, they stalled me until the next day in the afternoon. And they were like, okay, we're ready. Come on in. And then when I got there, the doctor basically said, oh, we had to thaw 3 embryos. And if you guys could have seen my eyes, I was like, what? Because I knew we only had 2 female.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So at that point, he giggled. And I said, so we only have 2 female. And he giggles and he says, it's a boy.
Oh, and wow.
It was so crazy. I mean, you know how you do the gender reveal parties and you're like, wow, that's a girl. Or, that's how I felt. Like, that's the only way I can think of, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you're in shock.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
So what happens, like, to the, did you freeze the other ones or what happened?
Yes.
You freeze them.
They're basically, they're stored. You pay like a yearly storage. It's like a Creole. I forgot what it's called. The Creole something bank.
Yeah.
Anyway, you pay every year, and your embryos are stored. Now, we have 12 other embryos that we don't know what they are. I had so many, but I didn't have the heart to just be like, oh, we'll just get rid of the rest. You know, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what I could do,
yeah.
But yeah. That they store them, and when you're ready, the first time is much more expensive. If you do the genetic testing and everything, it's, and this is just in my state, I don't know about other places, you know, was a little close, just about 30,000 for everything.
And your insurance doesn't cover any of it usually?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
Some people's insurance will cover like blood work, or they will cover medications, things like that, but mine didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really just like a, you know, whatever you save, and then, you know, you finance the rent, whatever, you just do what you can, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're so worth it. Every penny is so worth it.
Oh my gosh.
So worth it.
Totally. But my son, it just ended up being like 10. The second time around, if you have stored embryos, you know, it's not as much, but
well, that's good.
Yeah,
it's good. It's not the same. Same amount.
No, you go through the same, you know, medication and everything, but just not the same amount. But it's so worth it. You know, you look at your kids and you're like, I mean, I know you guys look at your kids and you're like, God, I made you, you know?
Yeah.
You came for me. And, you know, same, you know, you look at them like, wow, I never thought that I would be able to have a baby. And now look at both of you, you know?
Yeah. It's so amazing that, you know, we're able to do this. We're able to go through IVF mm-hmm. and do these whole mm-hmm. treatments to be able to carry and deliver and have a child. I think it's so amazing. I myself been thinking of in the future, you know, become a surrogate. So mm-hmm. it's something that I've been thinking about, you know, for quite some time. And I've told my mm-hmm. husband, and he thinks I'm crazy, but he's all for it if it's something that, you know, I want to eventually do. So I'm wondering the process and, you know, the injections and all that. It's probably pretty right. similar to what you went through, but obviously it wouldn't
it
be,
is.
You know, my baby would be somebody else's that I would
right.
carry.
But you're still going to have, yeah, but you'll still feel those injections and
yeah,
you know, you'll still feel all that, you know.
And how did you feel though? Like with the injections, like, were you like nauseous? Is it like, do you get a headache or is it just, you feel fine?
The stimulating ones are, I was exhausted. Like when you stimulate, I was exhausted. Like,
yeah.
It's insane. But the second set, yes, you will get headaches. Like there's so many hormones like being pushed in your system, progesterone, estrogen, you know, just everything. Yeah, you do. You get headaches. You're tired, you know.
Yeah.
Body aches, obviously, but you're going to have that with being pregnant. But the injections just give you a different set. You almost need to like massage the area every day
mm-hmm.
and you need Benadryl cream. Remember this, if you do it, which again, I think it's so beautiful to do, you need Benadryl cream because your skin is going to get irritated with the injections. You know, they go in the same area.
It has to be in the same area every time.
I mean, basically the same circles. I mean, you can switch sides, but after a month, it doesn't matter what side you use. It's just going to be, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, for whoever, there's this, you know, there's a stigma with whether it's IVF or, you know, surrogacy, or whether it's like same sex couples, or even just a male or one female wanting to have children. You know, people look at you like, oh, well, why would you do that? Or, you know, hey, you're the same sex, or hey, well, you can't have it naturally, so why would you, you know? But it's not for none of us, you know, to judge or to, you know, almost like take that happiness or that dream away from someone else. Yeah. You know, like we're all not capable. What word am I thinking? We all deserve it. You know,
we're all worthy.
We all deserve it.
Yeah. Absolutely. My husband and I tried for 3 years and we thought that we weren't going to be able to. So right when, like, probably 3 months or so before, like, going to see the OB and to start getting tested and see what's wrong with us, why can't we get pregnant? And it was like 3 months later, you know, we got pregnant. So I know that feeling of being that woman that doesn't have a baby and sees all my friends and cousins with a baby and like, oh my God, like I'm not going to be able to have a child. Like it's very hurtful. And so if I'm able to carry a child for, you know, a family that's, you know, desiring a child, you know, so much and isn't able to, like, I would love to be able to give them that, you know what I mean? Like it's just,
right.
It's very beautiful, like you say, and it's so awesome that you're, you know, able to go through that and have two beautiful children, you know, it's so amazing.
Definitely.
It really is. And let me tell you, genetics is something else because my husband is Black and I'm Mexican and Persian, my dad being Persian.
Yeah.
And my daughter literally looks just like her dad, and she has, he's a little, he's like lighter, but he's brown. He's like, you know, he's brown. And she looks, I love it. Her skin color is like just like his. She has beautiful dark curly hair. And then my son is like a replica of me. So he has my olive skin and he has like the reddish color in his hair. And it's just crazy the way it works.
That's beautiful.
It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
I know, seeing my little girl, well, my, you know, almost 6 month old, she looks kind of more like me, I feel like. And my first looks kind of more like him. But even though it's so funny, because if I look back at pictures of when they were, when my oldest was little, like, they kind of look identical. It's crazy. But they change, you know, within time, everything, you know, starts to change. Babies are so beautiful.
Yeah, I know.
Till they turn into teenagers. No. Oh,
yes, I don't want to think about that.
You know, I don't know about teenagers yet, but oh my gosh. Well,
I was looking at my son's baby pictures, and I was looking at him the other day, and I was like, look at you. He laughed. He's 19. He laughs. He's like, you're serious? So I'm like, yeah, it's crazy to see him now, and it's just like, damn, time flew. But yeah, they're no fun when they're teenagers. They're fun now. He's fun now, but I would rather have, babies are cute. I would have 3 or 4 kids if they stayed little, but given the fact that they don't stay little and they grow up, it makes me rethink the whole situation.
That is so funny.
Yeah, maybe not. Because they're so cute. The kids are, babies are amazing. Kids are too. I think that my favorite stage is like probably 9 months to about 3 years old. I think that's like my favorite. They learn so much. They're observing everything. Gosh, they're just, you know, soaking everything in. They're learning how to dress themselves, how to eat. I just, little independent beings, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that, to me, that's the most beautiful stage, because then when, you know, then you know that they get ready to go off to, you know, kindergarten when they're 5 or 6, you know.
It's
kind of like, that's my favorite.
Not.
8 to 9
I'm not
months.
Looking forward to it.
I cried when I first took my son to kindergarten. It was so sad. I was like, oh my God. I told my mom, do you realize that I'm delegating our responsibility of the child that I'm the only person who's looked out for the last 4 years, because he was 4 when he went, four years, I said, to a perfect stranger. And she goes, leave it to you to make me see going to school that way. She goes, I never once imagined the way you're thinking when I left my, what's what you did? You left us with perfect strangers. You knew nothing about these people, but you just leave us with it. She goes, I had never thought about it. I go, that's the reality of it.
That's the scariest thought, is to think of it's my so kid, scary. You know, because she obviously get, you know, I'm home with them. So thinking like, okay, when should I put you in preschool? Like, it's just so scary to think about.
Yeah.
Yes.
She and almost now, went especially into preschool. The time we're living in now. Like, I know I say this often, and through as days go by with this pandemic, as days go by with everything that's been going on and the virus and just, you know, what's going on in the world and the shootings and everything that just happened, that's transition. I tell myself, like, it'd be some shit to be raising little kids right now. For me personally, because of the way I am, I'm super hyper paranoid when it comes. I'm like just really a diligent parent in that sense. You know what I mean? Like, I'm on top of things, just freaking out to the 100th power. I want to make sure everything's right. And it's like, those are things you have no control over. Like, no one has control over these things. There's no control. So when he was in high school and there were some shootings, it wasn't as bad. But now when I hear him and they continue happening, I'm just like, I just thank God that he's not 4 or 5 or 6 and he has to go to school. Even with the vaccination, they're probably going to mandate you guys to vaccine the kids, you know, before they go to school. And I'm just like, you know, they're probably going to have to be homeschooled if you don't want to vaccine them. It's going to be something that the parents have to decide, you know. And I'm just thankful that I'm not even in that predicament, because, again, it's you know, it's a beautiful thing to have kids, but it's also some very trying times for you parents that have young children. I mean, you guys are forced with a lot of decisions, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of, like, just things that they can't go outside. It's just crazy. I can't even imagine, you know, because as parents, that's the one thing you do is protect your kids, and you worry. If people are very nonchalant and they worry about nothing, the one thing you will worry about is your children, right? Because you want to do everything right. You want to be perfect. And now living in such an uncontrolled environment in the world, I can't imagine what it must like, you know, when these kids have to go back to school and even sports. My son just told me yesterday, Mom, they're canceling football. I can't imagine if they canceled my football season when I was a kid. Again. I don't know what I would do, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully the girls and your boy will be older by the time all this will die down. We'll be back at a peaceful
Well, she almost went to preschool. I went and I was right there. I went to both, you know, the one here by our house and another one, and right before all this stuff happened, literally. And then I was like,
negative.
You won't be going to preschool right now. I teach her at home too. So
yeah, definitely.
She's good.
Yeah. It's just crazy, but wow. Do you want more children or are you done?
If I didn't have C-sections, I promise you, I would try to have every single one of, it sounds crazy.
Yeah, no.
I'm crazy. Yeah. Every single one of those embryos that is viable, I promise you, I would spend my last dollar to try to have them. But since, you know, it didn't happen that way, I'm thinking, or we're thinking, maybe we'll do it one other time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe we'll just do twins, because I can say, you know what, hey, I know I had my two, but I'm, you know, by that time I'll probably be 40. I'm 37 now.
Yeah.
And I could just be like, you know, I just want to be done. And I'm sure he'll be okay with it, you know, meaning my doctor, because he's not the type to just be like, yep, let's throw some in there. You know, he's not like that at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. He's not like that. You know, he's really taking care of his patients and wants to make sure you're okay. I mean, but that would be awesome if you are able to have twins, you know, in the future. Yeah. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would be happy with whatever God, you know, allows. Like, definitely. That's kind of what I'm hanging on, is whatever, you know, whatever he allows. So,
yeah. And I think the fact that you found a good ethical doctor who isn't, you know, over there playing God, obviously, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And just doing things right. That means, you know, it's important as well, because there is these doctors that all they care about is the money. Let me this many eggs in you or whatnot, embryos. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's good that you were able to find a doctor who you feel comfortable with. That's not going to, you know, just be careless and reckless.
Yeah. He told me one day, he said, I'm just God's instrument. That's it.
Yeah.
So don't worry. And that made me feel definitely so good about
that's,
it.
That's mm-hmm. a little, you know, solidified the deal right there. Like, okay, you know. Definitely. That he acknowledges that, because, you know, some doctors do have an ego trip. It's not God, it's them, you know?
It's them, yeah. Totally. Which, you know, hey, you are smart. You went to school. Yeah, yes,
hats
but
off to you.
That is, but God made you too.
Definitely. You're his vessel.
Yes, exactly.
Is there anyone else, you know, who's gone through IVF also?
There are a couple of people that I know. One couple, they also had, a boy, and then a girl, and they used the same doctor. And theirs was simple. My friend actually only had one ovary. So that was her issue. And then I do know one that had three girls through IVF.
Wow.
But hers was, she had like two of them that failed in the beginning, and she had to, so she had to keep trying. And then one other friend that makes me sad all the time when I think about it is she, her FSH levels are too low, meaning like she doesn't have eggs, you know, or like the quality. So she, it's not even like something she can try, you know? So yeah. No. Just a few people.
Yeah. When I thought I couldn't have children, I contemplated whether it was something I would want to do, you know? I mean, I like Janet, hats off to her. I could never be a surrogate mother, I don't think. I think that's a very, I think I'd be attached. You know what I mean? I don't think that, I don't know. It's just different. But yeah, so it's kind of like overwhelming, I guess, when you start looking into it, but it's all such a beautiful resource and option to be able to have when you're, you know, in that quest of wanting to be a parent, you know, it's such a beautiful journey. So it's an amazing thing that, you know, those options are there. I just wish it was a little bit more affordable because, you know, people, some people
totally
have resources, you know.
And, oh my gosh. You know, yes.
It, it, you know, it kind of makes it, you know, a privileged thing. But it, again, you said you finance, you do what you got to do, you know, just if that's really
I literally worked on my credit for 3 years because I was like, listen, someone's going to give me some money for medical or something, you know, and I literally worked on my credit and I got it to where it was really, really good credit. And, you know, it was medical. So I think they're a little more lenient with the medical. So, yeah. And then it, it ended up being with like a credit union. And
so the interest was low. God, you know, the journey, when it's meant to be, you know, everything lays out the way it's supposed to be. Yes. You know, things fall into place. I'm a big believer in that.
Yeah. You know, it definitely wasn't easy. I, you know, when I say it, and I think sometimes it probably comes off like, well, yeah, we did it. And, you know, and it did. It did happen quickly. Or, you know, like the first try both times for us. But it was like a journey to there. Definitely. You know? It was like a big journey.
Just even the thought of having to go through that is a journey. You know what I mean? It's just like tough. Just thinking, I can only imagine. Yeah. I mean, being pregnant naturally is a journey. You know what I mean? Without all the hoopla of going to the doctor and the injections and the tests and waiting for results and doing that. I mean, just when you go in there and you have your normal, you know, test when you go in there for your first prenatal visit, it's insane. It's overwhelming. I can't even imagine the thought of having to go through what you went through. And then not that money is a thing, but you realize even if it doesn't work, you've invested a lot of money in something that's not guaranteed, and that's very stressful. I mean, and kudos to you and your husband, you guys must be very strong, because I can only imagine the toll that it must take on a relationship, or it can take on a relationship, because you know, we don't have all the financial resources and we don't know if it's going to work, and we're coming back and forth, you know. So definitely it's a journey. Just the just that alone is a journey in itself, you know. I don't think any one part of that must be easy, but so worth it in the end, you know.
Totally,
definitely,
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. It's a, I would say, if I could describe, it's really beautiful, and I think it's really, really beautiful. But for anybody, you know, if you're planning on going through it, even surrogacy, you know, it's a lonely place, and I don't know how to describe it, because my husband is so, he was at every appointment. He was, you know, my shots, he would massage my, you know, my injection area. It's, you know, he was there present all the time, but I can't describe the feeling, or like, you know, it's a lonely feeling. Like you're the one enduring that pain, and like the injection, it takes a toll on you. So
yes, I can only imagine.
If you ever need any talking, any pep talks, if you do it, let me know, because it can get tough.
Thank you. No, I know. Like I said, it's something like I've thought about. It's not something I'm like 100% gonna do it, because again, I have my own babies, and knowing, you know, that even taking birth control, like, you know, changes our emotions and hormones and all that, that's pretty effective on me. So thinking, okay, you're gonna get shots, you know, before you get, before you carry the baby and during, it's like, you know, it's a lot. It is a lot. And so you really physically and mentally have to be fully ready. And like my cousin said, getting attached to the baby, like, I think that's another big window to look through, because, you know, I could get postpartum, you know, really bad, because I, you know, my hormones, and I'm not going to bring the baby home, and I'm not going to breastfeed. But like, so you just really have to be on the level of, this baby is not yours. Like, you know, you're doing this for this family, and, you know, and I guess just because of, you know, what we went through wanting to get pregnant and then not getting pregnant until 3 years later, it's like, you know, I can only imagine, you know, families that can't get pregnant at all and just that really need someone to carry their baby. So I know, like my cousin was saying, it just thinking about it, you know, sounds like a huge, huge journey. And so I'm just so glad that you and your husband were able to do this. And now you have your beautiful children. And for more women listening, you know, who are struggling with getting pregnant, I think if they can, you know, and if they really want to have a baby, there's options.
And there's different procedures, you know, there's not everybody needs the same thing. So, you know, it's just good to know that you can do it and not to be like embarrassed or, you know, feel bad about the situation.
Yeah. You know? And I think like, you know, when you're in those shoes, it's really hard. Like for me, like to talk and say, oh, you know, we've been trying, like, it's something like I wouldn't really tell anybody, you know what I mean? It was like more between my husband and I, like everybody would always like, oh, when you're having kids, you've been married like what, 8 years now, and you still have, and you still don't have kids. And
it's, were you like embarrassed, like, because you felt like,
well, you're embarrassed because it's like, you know, like, I'm not woman enough, I'm not worthy enough, or my man isn't like, man enough to be able to, you know, make it happen. Like, so you feel horrible.
Stop asking already.
You know? I was never embarrassed. I was bothered by the question. I was just like,
I wouldn't say embarrassed.
So you don't got to ask me that question. Like, to me, it wasn't. To me, it wasn't that. Even though I had my own issues with, I felt like, oh, I'm not, you know, like, you know, feminine enough or woman enough, I had, or, you know, I'm not deserving of being a mother. I felt my own issues with that. When people asked, though, I was just irritated.
It's like, why?
I was just irritated, like, you know. And then,
but that's the question all the time.
People who don't know me personally, they don't know that I lost a child, right? So then that's kind of like, you know, so then it would be like, it brings up a question, because if they ask me, you know, oh, do you have children? And I didn't have my son, my living son at the time. You know, I would say yes, because I had a child, right? But he's not here anymore. So it became a little irritating. Oh, why aren't you going to have kids? Or, you know, where's your son? Or, you know.
Yeah, and I think most, like, us Latinos, I think that's, like, the question all the time. Like, oh, ¿y tú pa' cuándo? ¿Y tú pa' cuándo? Or when's your next one?
Yeah, my dad, well, you have a boy. Well, my dad, he speaks Spanish, too, but he's like, well, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, it's your boyfriend. No, just because it's my boyfriend doesn't mean I'm going to try to have children.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, at the time, like, no.
Yeah, my husband and I got married at 21, and then like we did wait a little while before, because we were like, no, like, we don't want to have kids yet, you know. But, you know, we did try for 3 years, and then those questions would come up, and it was like, damn, like, you know, we can't. But yeah, thank you so much for being part of our podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
For telling us so much about IVF. I think we definitely need a talk more about, you know, these procedures, and it's okay for women to go through this if they can't carry, or if they can't, you know, have a baby.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, not a lot of people even realize that, you know, it's what the options are, you know. So it's good that, you know, we talk about these things, because, and sometimes culturally it's not something that we even like venture into wanting to do, because it's not culturally something that some of us, we don't, our parents, or they don't talk about it. So it's awareness is the key to everything, is what I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this sends out some awareness to everybody listening out there who may even be having some of these same issues, you know? So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, and hug tight your little babies.
I will. You okay. guys do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. We want you to share your stories if you're someone who's gone through IVF or know someone who is going through IVF or surrogacy. I think it's a huge, huge, huge stigma that a lot of people feel uncomfortable talking about. And if we can bring it to the podcast, it's kind of just more of an eye-opening, and it breaks barriers and allows us women to know and feel and understand that if that's the only route to becoming a parent, it's okay. You know, our children are our biggest blessings, and there's nothing more wonderful than being able to have a baby, whether it's you carrying it or someone else carrying it for you. So thank you so much for listening to our episode for today. We are so happy to continue to bring new and different episodes each week. And today I posted a little late because my little baby wasn't feeling all well. So it's been a crazy week for me, but here I am posting it today, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you.